parsha, like always on Thursdays. Each year when it gets to Parshas Bahar, right? This week is Bahar Buchkosa. Am I right about that? I'm not totally lost. So each year when it gets to Parshas Bahar, I always focus on the same Rashi. Rashi says, "Ma inyan shmita etzel Har Sinai?" Right? That why is it that we mention that dafka Bahar Sinai? We're taught the laws of shmita, v'lo kol mitzvos nemru misinai. All the mitzvos were said at Sinai. Ela ma shmita nemru klaloseh pratoseh v'tiktukeh misinai. Av kula nemru klaloseh v'tiktukeh. Sinai, that what links Shemitah to Har Sinai is that Shemitah is not an exception. Shemitah is a paradigm. It's an example. That just like all of the details of Shemitah were given at Har Sinai, so to all the details of everything were given at Har Sinai. Now, Rashi is clearly assuming like one Shita in the Gemara in Masechta Zvachim. The Gemara in Zvachim, Daf Kuf Tes Vav, has a Machlokas Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yishmael. Rashi seems to be assuming like Rabbi Akiva, that in fact, Kolosein, Protosein, V'tiktukehen of every mitzvah were given at Har Sinai. Rabbi Shmuel holds, Beferish in the Gemara, that only the Klolos were said at Har Sinai, the Protosein, V'tiktukehen, the details were given at Ohel Moed or Arvus Moev. So there are three questions that one can ask. First, Rashi in Parshas Mishpatim, in describing the halachos that appear immediately after Matan Torah, says, Ve'ele mosif al harishonim. Ma harishonim misinai, af elu misinai. That Ve'ele comes to tell us that just like the previous ones were from Sinai, this is also from Sinai. It seems that Rashi is assuming over there, like Rabbi Yishmael, that not everything was given with its details at Har Sinai, but the Vav in Ve'ele HaMishpatim indicates that all of the details in Parshas Mishpatim are from Sinai. So it seems that the basis of that Rashi is Rabbi Yishmael, and the basis of Rashi over here in Parshas Bahar is Rabbi Akiva. So why is it that Rashi splits between these two shitos in two different places? Secondly, there are eight different times in the Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu himself did not know the halacha, that Moshe Rabbeinu himself was unaware of the halacha. He didn't know the onesh for the mekalel. He didn't know that the lechem mishnah should be taken on Erev Shabbos, which misa to give the mekoshesh, the whole idea of Pesach Sheni, Hilchos Yerusha for daughters, Kanoim Pogimbo, Giulei Nachrim, and the Isra Onein to eat Kachim. And that's deeply troubling, just in its own, that Moshe Rabbeinu, that there was anything that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know. That you could ask Moshe Rabbeinu Shaila about anything, and he would say, it wasn't so clear about that. Because, you know, if Moshe Rabbeinu could be unclear about anything, then that's very, very difficult for us theologically. Like, how do we know necessarily that he wasn't unclear about more things? So Chazal deal with many of these. They deal with some of them, and they say Moshe was punished for having gotten angry, or because he said, Kala davar akasha tavio elai. So there's a sense of gaiva over there, or a shemetz of gaiva. But they don't deal with all of them. And particularly if you assume, like Rabbi Akiva, that all the details were given at Sinai, how could it be that Moshe didn't know how to paskin? How could it be that Moshe Rabbeinu was missing, was missing out on some of these halachos? And finally, third question, according to Rabbi Akiva, that everything was given at Sinai, what's the significance at all of Ohel Moed or Arvus Moed? Meaning, once you have Kolosein, Patein, Tiktukein, everything at Sinai, so then why do we need the repeats? Why do we need Ohel Moed? Why do we need Arvus Moed? Well, why would the Torah have to tell me that these halachos were mentioned in these places any more than to tell me what Masechta we're learning in Yeshiva this year? You know, what Masechta they're learning in Lakewood, or in Brisk, or in Yeshiva University, or in whatever? I mean, okay, so they learned these halachos at Arvus Moav. They learned the halachos at Ohel Moed. Good! They also got them at Har Sinai. So you want to talk about where they were received, I understand, but you're going to tell me that they were repeated at different places? They've been repeated thousands, millions of times throughout Jewish history. And today we're going to be repeating some halachos of Teri and Kriya in our regular shir. I mean, what's the value of it? So I have a beautiful sefer that someone gave me. I think it's right behind me somewhere on this shelf. A sefer called Ner Aharon. on the Parshios. I don't see it. It must be behind some other Svarim. But it's written by a fellow by the name of Ralph Frankel, who is a I'm not sure he's a father-in-law of someone who davens in my shul and just an outstanding person in Talmud Chacham. And he wrote a beautiful two-volume set on Chumash. So he quotes in that sefer Ner Aharon that the Maril Diskin says that according to Rabbi Akiva, it's true that all the details were given at Har Sinai, but even when it was given at Har Sinai, it didn't become halacha lemaisa until the command was issued from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to teach the mitzvah to Klal Yisrael. Meaning the fact that Hashem gave it to Moshe did not yet make it halacha lemaisa. That was not yet the mechayev for Klal Yisrael. It was only when Moshe went, turned around, and taught it to Klal Yisrael that created the mechayev, that created the sense of mitzvah, the sense of commandment. Something becomes Torah at Har Sinai. It becomes halacha when there's a Mesiras HaTorah, when the Torah is given from one person to the next. That's when it becomes halacha. And that's a remarkable idea. You know, we value Torah greatly, but it's not considered a complete Cheftza Shel Torah until it's been taught, until it's been shared with other people. And you find a similar idea, that Torah is raised to a different level, and not just raised to a different level, that the main emphasis of Torah is being melame Torah, more so than being lome Torah, being melame Torah. You find that idea in a few places. Gemara in Kiddushin darshins the pasuk vishinantam levenecha, that vishinantam shite divrei Torah mechudadim beficha, right? That you should the Torah should be so sharp in your mouth. How sharp in your mouth? How fluent do you have to be in Torah? That im yishalcha adam, if someone asks you, al tegam gim b'tomer lo, al tomer lo miyad, you shouldn't have to stumble to tell him, to teach him when he asks you. When asked to teach Torah, hey, you have a dvar Torah? Right away, you should have something. Always have one. Always have what to say. Tomer lo miyad, say right away that you have what to teach. So your immediate response, the very mitzvah of learning Torah is expressed by how well you're able to say it over. Not by how well you know it, how well you're able to teach it. In fact, Tosos and Bava Metzia on Daf Chav Gimel and Beis asks how there could be a halacha that a Talmud Chacham is allowed to lie about a Masechta. Right? One of the things he's allowed to lie about is his learning. So if he's supposed to be a Marlo Miyad, so what do you mean he could lie? Tosos asks. He's supposed to be a Marlo Miyad. Someone asks you about your learning. You should say right away what you're learning. So Tosos answers that a Marlo Miyad is only when the other person needs to learn from you. But if he's just asking you what you know to test you, then you shouldn't respond. But if he needs to learn from you, if there's going to be a Rebbe Talmud relationship, there's going to be a Mesiras HaTorah from one person to the other, then that's the shear of Lima Torah. That's how much you're supposed to learn Torah till you're ready to fluently give it to another person. That's really the whole idea of chavrusa learning. That we don't just learn on our own. We learn with other people because we learn to the point where I have to be able to explain it to somebody else. You know, after our Soloveitchik passed away, I was not in the yeshiva at the time. I was in I think I was in 10th grade when Soloveitchik passed away in 1993. But in the YU Beis Medrash, I think it was every week they had a different Rosh Yeshiva be maspid. Be Maspid of Soloveitchik every week for a while after Soloveitchik passed away, I think for the rest of that year. And Rabbi Parnas Shlita gave a hesped for Soloveitchik, and it was a fascinating hesped because Rabbi Parnas said in his hesped that he was not particularly personally close with Rav Soloveitchik, and here's the strange thing, he said nor did he particularly appreciate or enjoy the shiur, which is wild, right? Like, everyone worked to get to Rav Soloveitchik Shir, and they said it was magnificent. He said, like, he didn't really get it. Like, he didn't see what Rav Soloveitchik was really doing. He didn't really understand the depth of the Shir. I mean, he stayed, because he got to go to Rav Soloveitchik Shir. He said, and then he was offered a job to teach an MTA. And Rabbi Parnas started to teach an MTA. And he said, the thing about Talmidim is they had questions. And as soon as they started asking questions, he found himself going back to a whole way of thinking that Rav Soloveitchik trained him in that he didn't even realize. And it then hit him that all of that time spent in Rav Soloveitchik's shiur was building his mind in a way where he was now equipped to answer his Talmidim's questions. And that's when he realized that how valuable that learning is. I mean, what an example. The learning, while he's doing it, he didn't even appreciate that its value. It's only when he was called upon for Mesiras HaTorah, to give the Torah to be Melamid La'acherim, then all of a sudden, all that learning meant so much more to him. It actually became something. The Rambam, when he starts Hilchos Talmud Torah, does not start with the obligation to learn Torah. He starts with, of course, Nashim Vavadim Ketana Peturim Mitalmud Torah, but then he writes, and the very next line, Aval Katan, Aviv Chayiv Lelamdo Torah, Shnemer L'Madim Osam Esmenechem L'Daber Bam. The very first halacha in Hilchos Talmud Torah, after we get through who doesn't have to learn Torah, instead of getting to who does have to learn Torah, a father has to teach Torah to his child. That's the essence of Torah. Even though there's a halacha that Dvarim Shebichsav Yata Rashi Lomram Balpeh, and Dvarim Shebalpeh Yata Rashi Lekosvan, the Gra in Maseches Temura on that Gemara, where the Gemara says that, the Gra explains that that's only in the context of teaching Torah. People always had personal notebooks where they wrote down Torah Shebalpeh. That they always had. But when it came to teaching Torah, that's a real Chefetz Shel Torah, when you're teaching it. And that's where that Isser comes in, because that Isser relates to a genuine Chefetz Shel Torah. We always read Kriyashma, we always say Az Yashir, we say Kriyashma by heart, we say Az Yashir by heart, Pitamak Torahs by heart, or read it from a Siddur, at least, not from a Torah. So why are we allowed to do that? Right? They're not a Sefer Shalem, so it's not considered Dvarim Shebichsav. When you read it out of a Siddur, it's considered saying Dvarim Shebichsav Balpeh. It's not considered to be reading it Mitoch HaKsav. Why are we allowed to do that? Because it's not in the context of teaching others. It's in the context of just saying it to ourselves. And when it's in the context of saying it to ourselves, Tamid Rabbein Yonah has a different answer about it being a kiyum of another mitzvah, but it's when it's in the context of saying it to ourselves, then that's not the full Chefetz Shel Torah. Maybe with that, we can answer all the questions that we began with. Rashi in Parshas Mishpatim also assumes, like Rabbi Akiva, that Kalosein and Protosein were given at Har Sinai. But he was highlighting that just like the Aseres Hadibros were immediately taught to Klal Yisrael, and therefore immediately became operative, so too the Dinim from Parshas Mishpatim were immediately operative, because they were immediately turned around and taught again. All mitzvos were given at Har Sinai, but they only became absolute halacha when they were taught to Klal Yisrael. When we say that Moshe Rabbeinu was unaware of the halacha, it's not a result of a faulty memory, like an approach to say something like that. That could be apikorsis. You can say, what else did Moshe Rabbeinu forget? What else are we not sure? But it was Moshe Rabbeinu knew that these halachos hadn't yet been taught to Klal Yisrael, so he required direct communication with the Kodesh Baruch Hu in order to know how to handle each of those situations that arose, because he couldn't just rely on the fact that it's already halacha. It hadn't yet been at those particular points in time. And that is the significance of knowing whether a din was repeated at Arvis Moav or Ol Moed. It's not like what are they learning in Lakewood, what are they learning in YU, what are they learning in Panovich, what are they learning in Mir. No, it's a totally different idea. When we're describing what happened Arvis Moav and Ol Moed, we're talking about the enacting the Torah, making it operative, and that really underscores the importance of not only learning Torah, but teaching Torah. And as we head toward the Yom Tov of Shavuos, this is something that that we need to to think about a little bit. To think about, not that we have an achrayus right now at whatever stage we're in to teach Torah, but at some point every father is expected to be a malamed. Every father is expected, no matter what his profession is expected to teach Torah. Every well-learned balabas, and certainly rabbanim, and certainly mechanchim, are expected and ultimately going to be judged by their effectiveness, certainly the rabbanim and the mechanchim, in teaching Torah to Klal Yisrael, in being able to give over the Torah to other people. It's all the learning that one does on their own is wonderful, and it's a great, great mitzvah, but the greatest mitzvah is when one is lilmod al menas lelamed, when one is able to teach others. And it's important to take advantage of opportunities to do so. To take advantage of opportunities that you have to be able to be able to share Torah with other people on any level. And sometimes you think that, you know, my time would be better spent doing other things, or, you know, is this opportunity to teach Torah really at my level of learning? You know, I'm at a higher level. There was a beautiful story that went around about Rabinovich, Rav Nachum Rabinovich, who passed away last week, that someone said, I think his son said this at the Levaya, that that when he was in Charleston, South Carolina, he was the rabbi there, he was teaching Aleph Beis to little kids. And one of his old chaverim from yeshiva, he learned in Er Yisrael, he was very close Talmud of Rav Ruderman, he was Nadam Gadol Ad Ma'od, and one of his close chaverim from yeshiva visited him and said, Aleph Beis, I mean, Nebuch, this is what you're doing? And he said, it's Taras Emes. And when you teach Taras Emes, you could start a revolution. It doesn't matter what level of Taras Emes you're teaching. When you teach Taras Emes, you could start a revolution. You could change lives by teaching Taras Emes. So that's part of what we need to incorporate into our worldview a little bit when it comes to approaching the Yom Tov of Shavuos. Okay, let's get into the Liban now.